Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls because we have with us right now Barrett Schoest, and we're going to be talking about something we've talked about before, and that's the church growth movement. But Barrett is on the front lines of this. She's read all these books by Peter Buford and by Peter Drucker, or maybe it's whatever Buford's first name is. I don't know what it is, but certainly Peter Drucker. And this is a program for global transformation using the church and using the management, corporate management techniques and brainwashing techniques that have been so developed for government and for corporations, using them in the Protestant church. Barrett, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. It's great to be with you again. I'm so glad you're getting this message out to.
Well, I'll tell you what, we think it's so important, and as you know, we have a video diaprax in the church. We have a four-tape set on the church growth movement. We'll be putting together other four-tape sets on this movement. And, of course, anybody who does contact us will get some of the material off of your website, you know, a summary of how this whole idea of the purpose-driven life, which is, of course, the book by Rick Warren, distorts the very meaning of God's Word.
Oh, it does. And it's hard for people to realize it, because you read a book like Purpose-Driven Life, and there are so many biblical principles in there, and he cites scriptures, many of them on every page. Over 90 times he cites, for example, Eugene Peterson, who used to be the professor, he's a retired professor from Regent College or University up in Vancouver, Canada, which has been very oriented toward this global transformation, community building, preparing leaders who will guide the changing world and so on. But we're just seeing when those paraphrased pieces or those scriptures from the message are quoted as the Bible without the reference on the spot. They're all in the back. You have to look up chapter by chapter all the different scriptures he uses, and so he puts in paraphrases and little pieces, and you hardly realize that they're totally twisted, and yet he uses those to back up his principles. And unless you're continually looking up to see, is this a real Bible verse, or is this a paraphrased and distorted one, you really don't know whether what he's saying is true. But it sounds so good, it feels so good, because he talks so much about smiley God who looks at us and loves us no matter what we do, and yet it really doesn't deal with the kind of life he calls us to. So it distorts the Christian life while it appeals to the feelings, so it's very hard to even criticize it. I thought maybe I could just quote one statement from an email that somebody wrote me after he had read my article, and he wanted to just back up what I'd written, and I thought it might fit right in as a beginning.
All right, fine. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to have to take a break here in about 45 seconds, so maybe we'll just hold that until we actually get an opportunity. Maybe if we're going to have to take 3 minutes while we're bringing in some other stations. So do you mind holding that?
No.
And we certainly want to utilize that. And there are people out there who recognize what's happening. But we had this last month, in fact, I think probably even still today, 3,000 or 5,000 churches going through this 40 days of purpose. They're talking about 15,000 churches next year going through this. 350,000 ministers and Protestant laymen have been indoctrinated in
the
purpose-driven church. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And with us today is our good friend Barrett Schoss. And if you haven't read Barrett Schoss's material, it's on her website, crossroad.to. You really need to, because she's a prolific researcher and writer and will help you to clarify so many of the conflicting views that we see today. But Barrett, you were going to tell us about this email that you'd gotten. Why don't you tell that story?
A visitor by the name of David wrote, "There are some really good things and points that Rick Warren brings out, but they always seem to be so mixed up with many confusing and theologically weak points that you go crazy trying to keep it all straight. You will read a great point, and then he'll throw in a quote from Mother Teresa or Aldous Huxley, and your mind reels. There's a push to paint God as a smiley face in the sky, but you have to ignore his justice and anger. Plus, when you're the only naysayer in the group, it gets old, especially when no one else seems to have anything but praise for the book." And I want to read that because we have received so many letters from men and women, who mothers and fathers, Sunday school teachers, who have been very involved in churches that have suddenly embraced the purpose-driven paradigm, a whole new worldview, a whole new framework for understanding reality and filter for evaluating what is true and what is not true, which literally turns the truth upside down in many cases. And I just want to encourage those who are in those churches, who have tried to speak up and who might have been expelled, asked to leave, and told they're divisive or critical or legalistic, that we need to look at God's Word. The purpose-driven paradigm wants collaboration. It wants to employ the dialectic process to synthesize opposites and conflicts, and we need to stand back and take a look at the entire transformation that's changing literally the world as it is blending with governmental purposes, with UN purposes. I mean, it's so big that it's hard to fathom, Dr. Stan, and I know you know that, but I want to share that with our leaders, because the crisis is to be willing to stand firm on God's Word and not compromise with a popular, supposedly Christian movement.
Let me just point out, what this is a planned, well-organized program to manipulate people and manipulate their minds. And it's using a Hegelian concept of conflict resolution through the dialectic. By conflict, two conflicting views come up with a new view, but there's always somebody directing this. They call it a facilitator, and they call that, and the Marxists call it a facilitator, and the church growth movement calls it a facilitator, and there's a great deal of similarity between the two. We'll be back in just a moment with Barrett Schoss. Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest is Barrett Schoss, and we're talking about what is going on in the Protestant church today. And there's so many good people have recommended the church growth movement, and I'm talking about some of our finest Christian leaders. Some of these I personally know and I respect. But I respectfully believe that they are totally wrong, because they don't understand that this is part of a much larger movement. It has to do with manipulation. It has to do with brainwashing. It has to do with forcing you to sign covenants for things you don't even understand. It has to do with putting you into various courses, 101, 102, 103. And it goes right along with a planned program of changing the music. And when you change the music and the beat, why, you can have a profound impact on people's minds. And I think that they're playing games with people's minds. What about that, Barrett?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what we're talking about is appealing to the flesh, the human nature in people. It's the church bringing people in by taking polls first in the community to find out what the community likes, what pleases them, what they want for entertainment, what kind of music they listen to, and Pastor Warren did that, and then implementing exactly what they want, so that instead of thinking in terms of, you know, scriptures like Galatians 2:20, where it says, "I have been crucified with Christ, it's no longer I who live," or Romans 6, where it talks about reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to the world, dead to the flesh, you know, willing to set aside those things that are not the God so we can walk in the Spirit. Here they do exactly the opposite. They nurture the flesh, uses, builds on those feelings, many of those cravings that are replacing God, that are taking up so much of our attention, and become the focus of our real love, the focus of our heart, rather than Jesus Christ. There's no real self-denial, because you make it almost impossible when you're offering the very delicacies that God tells us, warns us about in the world. So it's turning that aspect, the whole aspect of being conformed to Christ, upside down. And at the same time, there's continual discussion, not of any kind of the traditional sins like adultery and lying and stealing and so on. Although lying isn't good in this context, because there's a lot of emphasis on confession and admitting your weaknesses and so on, but in small groups, because it bonds people, makes them loyal to each other, and you sign contracts not to gossip and so on. But the key is that the traditional fleshly sins such as sexual sins and many others, they're not emphasized, because that could be offensive. But what are emphasized are the sins that deal with relationships, being divisive, criticizing, not really understanding and empathizing and feeling with somebody who has a different set of values than you have. So again, it fits into the whole new context of developing a new set of global values, core values that have to do with global unity and solidarity, not with biblical values. And those values, of course, are tolerance and empathy and inclusiveness and so on. The feel-good ones that draw people together and forbids even the thought of the kind of separation that God calls us to in 2 Corinthians 6, where it says, what fellowship does light have with darkness, Christ with Belial, and it lists the various things that are opposites that can't be blended, and it says come out from them and be separate.
But
well,
of course,
this doesn't allow for that.
But I think a lot of people are afraid to do that. Their friends are in the church, and of course, if they were to speak out and be critical of what was happening, why they would be, of course, ostracized by, and this is part of a planned program, isn't it? Isn't there a planned program within this whole mechanism? This is all laid out, sort of like a formula, point one, point two. This is what the ministers are supposed to do, and if you find somebody who is concerned because you're changing the thrust of the gospel, because you're changing the thrust of the music, and you're introducing music that certainly is offensive to many, many people, and I personally believe a lot of it comes right out of the very pit of hell, that you become, of course, a detractor, or what's the term that they use? They actually have terms, and then they tell the ministers how to get rid of these people. That doesn't sound very Christian.
No. In fact, let me just read a statement that Rick Warren made concerning music. In an article called Selecting Worship Music, he wrote, quote, "The style of music you choose in your services will be one of the most critical and controversial decisions you make in the life of your church. You must match your music to the kind of people God wants your church to reach. The music you use positions your church in a community. It defines who you are. It will determine the kind of people you attract and the kind of people you keep and the kind of people you lose." And so what he did then, when he found out that the popular music for the the people under 30 and thereabouts and less, was light rock or rock music, and so that's what he chose for his church. And he says, that's it's not a pro. He says Saddleback is unapologetically a contemporary music church. We often have been referred to in the press by the press as the flock that likes to rock. We use a style of music that the majority of people in our church listen to on the radio. And he says God loves variety.
Now, how does he know God loves variety? I mean, can he speak for God?
He does continually. He uses some scriptures again, but again, they're strange scriptures that twists the meaning of the biblical meaning of many of those verses. For example, let me just mention one here. This is John 4:23. This is in the context of he talks about there's not one size fits all approach to worship and friendship with God. God wants you to be yourself. And yes, that's true in a way. He wants us to be ourselves, but he doesn't want us to be our fleshly self. He wants to make us into a new creation. He has made us a new creation through regeneration, and then he wants us to renew our minds with truth. But Warren leaves that out. But then he uses a scripture from Eugene Peterson's paraphrased version of the Bible called The Message again, and he says, That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for, those who are simply and honestly themselves before him in worship. And now he's already said it doesn't matter if you get angry with God or what you do or say. I mean, the key thing is that you have to be frank. You don't, it makes you feel like it's okay, whatever is your feeling and your expression at that moment, that's okay with God. Now, I want to compare that particular Bible verse or the message version with any of the standard scriptures. For example, the King James or the New King James both say the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will or shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. He changes that completely, as you saw, because he doesn't focus on the spirit and the truth. In other words, the word of God made alive by the spirit is what should be the basis of the way we worship God and the way we see God. We can't see him unless it's through the Spirit and by his word where he has revealed himself. But again, to bring this down to a human level for all those people who haven't been regenerated and don't understand the scripture because the Spirit isn't speaking it into their hearts, he puts it in human terms and just says, that's the kind of people the Father is looking for, those who are simply and honestly themselves before him in their worship, which could be anybody, whether they're Christians or not. They're just acting out who they are at the moment.
Well, you know, one of the things that really just bothered me is Rick Warren makes the point, there is no such thing as Christian music. There are only Christian lyrics. And then he said, God made all music. And of course, God made all the music, and then you see this sort of music that's used at these rock concerts, and the psychological impact. Have you ever seen the pictures there, or been to one of these kids, and they're swaying, and they're almost like in a trance.
Right.
And he's saying, I don't believe God made that music. I believe that is the devil's own music. And yet, some of this is getting right into our churches today.
Right. I mean, we see that God created the world and it was good. But then sin entered into the world, and all of a sudden, humans are still able to use the resources that God created, but an awful lot of those resources are used for evil. And the resources themselves, man-made resources, are neither good nor bad. It's all how they're used. And the argument is totally false. But when you hear a lot of words and read a book, you don't stop to think about those things, and those impressions are left. Yes, anything goes because God made everything.
And I think that people have to understand, it's been known for thousands of years, the tremendous impact that music has on the individual, on their soul, and on their thought process.
Right.
In fact, it's been said, I've forgotten who was it who said it, I think it was Plato or something, that or Aristotle, that if I could control the music, I could control the world.
That makes sense. I didn't hear that, Dr. Stan, but it's an important message.
Well, we actually have it in a four-tape set, and I'm not sure I could be corrected, but we do have a four-tape set on musical madness, and of course the exact quotation is there. I haven't heard it now in a couple of years, but music is being used to change our world, but for the better?
No. It's not. In my article on the Spirit-led and purpose-driven church, I have a section on music, and I'd like to just point out the danger of unholy alliances. God warns us over and over again, both in New and Old Testament, not to make alliances, not to bring together good and evil.
Amen to that. And I really think, why would you want to bring raucous music like that into the church? Music, of course, that really is used by people who are on drugs, used by these rock artists, many of whom are actually, frankly, Luciferian. Why would you bring music like that into the church unless you were trying to change the church forever? Because that music has a profound impact on the minds of the people in the church.
Well, we have to remember that we're dealing with a purpose-driven. And if the goal is to make the church large, bring in a lot of money, and that's not written in the book, but that is the underlying driving force, along with other things. But I'd like to show the alliance after the break between Christian music and secular music, because it all comes together in the big hierarchy of ownership of the whole music industry of the world.
All right, you hang on there. But if you read Barrett's latest material, you'll find out that the people who are behind this are talking about global transformation, not to honor God, but of course to restructure society. and communitarianism. You'll be fascinated when you go to our website at crossroad.to.
Really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, Inroad to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
This is radio health journalist Bill Sardi. Hey, a lot of smart supplement users like to check out the facts before they purchase an herbal product. So go to www.lifespannnutrition.com and read all about Alamax, the new odorless, 100% pure Allicin garlic extract imported from Great Britain. You'll find Alamax is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. Check it out at www.lifespannnutrition.com or call 866-405-4000 to learn more about this breakthrough in garlic technology called Alamax. Call 1-866-405-4000 today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention some of the things we carry. One of them, of course, are the Berkey filters, the Big Berkey filter or the Berkey Light filter. And, of course, this is a wonderful way to take impurities out of your water. And if you're in an area where you have bad-tasting water or you're concerned about MTBE or you're concerned about fluoride in your water, you have to get special post filters for that, but you can actually get the fluoride out very, very efficiently. And as we mentioned earlier, of course, the active ingredient in Prozac is a fluoride compound. Fluoride is a rat poison. Fluoride is used for fertility control, and they know very well that the more fluoride in the water, the lower the fertility, and they feel there are too many people in the world, but they're not going to let you know that they're poisoning you and poisoning your children and creating all sorts of problems because you're supposed to just docilely go along with what's happening. Well, the Berkey filters will help you to get the fluoride out if you get the post filters. The Big Berkey is $239.95. The Berkey Light's $199.95. That's the one we have, the less expensive. But of course, they both work very well, but you can't get the Big Berkey in California or Iowa. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light filters, or go to our website where you can see them. And then we want to mention we carry Phenopoly, and Phenopoly is a wonderful board game designed to teach your children or you or your grandchildren how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. They've deliberately dumbed down our children so that they would not be able to read. That's why our reading scores are so low. Oh, people say that couldn't have happened. Well, when you buy the Phenopoly set, we'll give you a couple of books where you can document the fact they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. They want you to think, oh, we need to spend more money. We need to have a smaller class size or anything other than we're doing it intentionally. But after all, and when we had slavery, the one crime you could commit as a slave owner wasn't raping or beating or killing a slave, it was teaching him how to read. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, they know what they're doing. Call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask about Phenopoly. Well, Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Barrett Schoes, and we're talking about this movement that is sweeping the churches all across America. Now, I know a major church up in Spokane where the minister refuses to go into it. He started in this, and then he suddenly realized he was being trained not to lead his people to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but how to manipulate them. And that's what the program is. It's a corporate management scheme that was used for corporate management for 30 years by Peter Drucker, and then used in government, and now it's being used to transform the church. But what are they transforming it into? Well, it's part of a global movement. The trouble is, an awful lot of people are afraid to speak out. They want to stay there. They want to be comfortable. But, of course, only the brave will ever be free. And you need to check out the facts as we put them forward, get the material for the Barrett Shows has and the four-tape set that we have on the church growth movement and the video we have on Diaprax in the church, and then decide for yourself. But think, don't accept anything that we say, but don't accept anything that's said by Rick Warren in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, without, of course, getting Barrett Shows' material and looking at it. And, of course, her website is crossroad.to, and if you get either of the products we've offered, the Diaprax in the Church video or the Church Growth Movement four-tape set, why, we'll send you along with that some of Barrett's material to show you how they distorted the scriptures, and they've used scriptures that have no application to what they're talking about to justify a false point. Would that be a fair statement, Barrett?
That is totally true, Dr. Stan. Let me just do what I promised earlier, which is to give a little background in the music arena. For example, two of the most popular Christian musicians, Michael Smith and Amy Grant, are both under contract to Word Music Company, which sounds Christian. It's owned by Word Entertainment, which is a Christian music division of Warner Music Group, which is a Time Warner company. And we know the values of Time Warner. They put out, for example, the Harry Potter movies, and they have incredible rap music, which is part of their itinerary. They're totally anti-Christian in their values, but yet they own Word Entertainment and Word Music Company. And Stephen Curtis Chapman is an artist with Sparrow Record, but that group is owned by the British EMI Music Publishing, the world's largest secular music publisher. They're the ones that introduced America to the Beatles back in the 60s, and they have all kinds of rock groups, again, that are under their labels. And so here we're seeing a blending of Christian music, but under the hand, under the umbrella of these incredibly worldly companies. So, again, we're looking at alliances, but the whole movement, this whole purpose-driven movement toward social solidarity around the world, is based on building bridges and alliances between all the different parts of culture. And I want to just go into just a little bit, Dr. Stan, on the background here, because I suppose many of our listeners are familiar with Peter Drucker. He's sort of the inventor of today's management systems, of systems theory and everything that has to do with building the new corporation and the new government, where you have the three different aspects. You have the overall system or network or structure, and then into that you put the dialectic process, and then everybody is held accountable by standards that...
But isn't he behind the church growth movement? In other words, isn't it his techniques of corporate management that are being used in our churches today?
Right, and funded, again, by those who are not Christian. For example, he is very proud, Drucker is very proud of what's happening at Saddleback, and he calls Rick Warren, Peter Drucker calls Rick Warren the inventor of perpetual revival, of continual change, always bringing the people closer to the ultimate goal in a world that is designed to be continually changing based on the dialectic process. And he sees Saddleback Community Church as a starring example of the success in the Church of His theories. His vision, and this is on his website, Leader to Leader, which used to be the Peter Drucker Foundation, which was started, by the way, by Bob Bruford that you mentioned earlier, who now has left the Drucker Foundation, but not totally, because even though he's no longer the founder and the head of it, he started a branch, almost a Christian branch of the Drucker Foundation, which is the Leadership Network. But the Drucker Foundation has three goals, and of course Bruford shares those, and that is to make the social sector the equal partner of business and government in developing responsible leaders, caring citizens, and a healthy, inclusive society. The three parts must come together, but to create the new world order, you have to bring the churches as a primary institution within the social sector and train them to be leaders to the people and the ones who carry out ministry or social services that the government can no longer do.
Hold that. We'll be right back in just a moment.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991. It tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. This is Dr. Stan. I just want to mention we carry the Miracle 2 soap products. We can't make any medical claims for them, but we can point out that many of the people who use them make claims for them, and they tell us that they think that well, they're almost miraculous. And as far as rashes and other things are concerned, all we can do is say, why don't you try them? I know certainly I've used the Miracle 2 moisturizing soap. It's helped my rash, and I know Joyce Riley gives this to a lot of the veterans of the Gulf War, and it helps their rash when nothing else will. But of course, all you can do is try and see if these products will help you. And of course, there's a regular soap. I know my wife sometimes sprays this on the counter. Seems to discourage the ants, as well as of course clean things up. Neutralizer. People take it. It's a very alkaline solution. Some people say it helps their heartburn, gets them away from a lot of the very strong medicines they're taking. My wife has to take occasionally some of these very strong medicines, but she gets by pretty well with the product. And then, of course, some people say the neutralizer helps their lower digestive tract. All we can do is suggest, if you give it a try and find out if it will help you, Miracle 2 soap products. There are five of them: the soap, the moisturizing soap, the lotion, the gel, and the neutralizer. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then don't forget to seriously consider setting up an Institute of the Constitution in your community to teach people about our Christian heritage. The number to call, 410-760-9068. 410-760-9068, or go to their website, iotconline.com. That's iotconline.com. Help us get people educated about America's Christian heritage and how we lost it while we still have the time to do it. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this afternoon is Barrett Schoes. And Barrett was talking about how many of the Christian musicians are really under contract to companies that are anti-Christian. I would simply point out, if you have the Purpose-Driven Life, a book, notice who actually published it. Zondervan. Well, isn't Zondervan a Christian publishing house? It was. It's now owned by Rupert Murdoch, and nobody would ever accuse him of being an evangelical Christian at all. In fact, he actually owns some of the most corrupt and salacious publications in the world today. So you have to understand who is really pushing this behind the scenes. And the publisher makes all the difference in the world, because they're the ones who get you on the best sellers list. And then, of course, this idea takes off, and it sounds really wonderful. But what it is designed to do is to change the attitude of the people, to brainwash them, to manipulate them, and then, of course, to transform society. And Barrett, don't they actually talk about this global transformation, some of these people working behind the scenes?
Oh, of course they do, and that's what Drucker is all about. He's been working with companies around the world, and especially in the key countries that are, for example, part of a trilateral commission, Japan, and that's been a key headquarter for him. or center for him.
You mean the Trilateral Commission he's worked with?
No, he hasn't worked with them, but I was thinking of the countries that are particularly
right,
in the that participate. His institution, the Leader to Leader, which used to be the Drucker Foundation, talks about packaging knowledge and experience into tools for social sector leaders, which would be the church leaders, in critical areas such as fund development. And when you go to Bob Buford's site on church networks, large church networks, you'll see a lot on fund development, marketing, volunteer management, managing those who will go out and serve as volunteers in the community. That's part of that's the fifth of the five purposes in the purpose-driven church, dealing with ministry or mission. You become a missional person who goes out into the community and serves, and it deals with collaboration, self-assessment, and measuring results, continually measuring results, because you're result-oriented and you're purpose-driven. It's the same as outcome-based education. Outcome is what drives. You have, here's your outcome. This is your pre-planned outcome, and everything is geared to producing results. When you're purpose-driven, you define your purposes, and then you go for that. You know what the results are to be, and you measure people, assess them continually to see if they're becoming the kind of person that they need to be.
Bear, I want to make that point they're making very, very clearly. There is an organized program of assessment of the individual in these purpose-driven churches, and they actually keep records on the individuals, and other corporations keep records on the people in the churches. Is that possible?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're talking about a massive data system. For example, Pastor Warren works with CMS, which calls itself a, quote, full-service custom marketing and communications agency headquartered in Covina. They actually started working with global food distributing agencies, and it has a number of, it has the two Christian ones that they list on their site would be Bruce Wilkerson's Walk Through the Bible. He left that, but he founded and led it, of course, for many, many years, but many other secular corporations, the mostly secular corporations, and they say, we view it as our mission to help clients grow their businesses.
We're talking about churches. Churches now are suddenly become businesses, like physicians become providers and patients become consumers.
Absolutely. If you're going to be following the purpose-driven model, which is, as I said, the same as the outcome-based model or total quality model, it requires continual assessment of every individual, every plan, everything you do is continually assessed, which means a very sophisticated high technology software to store all the information and to organize and draw the conclusions that will guide you for the next step based on how people have acted in the past.
Well now, Barrett, is somebody grading you then in the church? Is a facilitator grading the people in his classes?
Yes. In fact, it's been interesting because people have reported to me that, a couple of people have said, we were in small groups and we were discussing, because they tell us to be authentic or honest and to share all kinds of things, to share our needs and so on in the small groups. But again, you don't need to talk about scripture or base your conclusions or your consensus on scripture, but you do talk about what you feel like and what you think and so on, the kind of things that bond people emotionally, and you become very authentic and honest. That's required, that you have to share those things that cause other people to empathize with you and train them in tolerance when you have sinned in some way. And so they too have said that they were talking, in their group, they'd shared something, and the next Sunday or the following Sunday, the pastor brought that particular issue up in the sermon, almost as if the facilitator, puts down on a piece of paper afterwards what the discussion has been about, so that can be fed into, if not into a computer system, into some kind of an information link to the pastor, so that the pastor knows what's happening all over the church.
Well, now, let's get into this whole idea of how they get rid of people who object to this change, because this is really a mind game, mind manipulation game that they're playing with the people, aimed at certainly the facilitator learns how to manipulate the individuals in his group. What happens when people say, well, there's something wrong with this. We're supposed to be studying the scriptures and the word of God, and instead of that, we're sort of discussing and debating and coming to consensus, but nobody's saying this is what God says. There's no didactic teaching. It's all has to do with feelings.
Right. I mean, this fits right into Drucker's system. You don't want to deal in terms of any kind of absolutes because you're training people to think relatively. You want to bring about an entirely new kind of thinking. I have two articles which we discussed in the past called Reinventing the World, and the first one deals with, again, an overall look at what that transformation means. But I quote so many people in the church, in education, in the great foundation, in the rich foundations that are global change-minded. They all are talking about UNESCO. Also, they all are saying we need to teach people to think in a new way. New thinking is an essential for changing the churches. The church leaders are saying that, all talking about how good it is. And a new way of thinking can't take place unless somehow you can... you create sort of a gap analysis. You talk about, well, this is, you know, our church is really bad right now. We're not really getting along. There are not a lot of people coming in. We're having a hard time sharing Christ in the community. We don't really have the kind of unity that we're supposed to have. And so they talk about how bad it is, and they talk about, you know, this glorious vision of if everybody was one and we were all, everybody could see how much we love each other because we're one, you know, then we could reach many more people. And they talk about global unity and bringing in the kingdom of God and unbelievers, not being unbelievers, but being Christians, as if you assume that they are going to be Christians one day. I haven't heard Rick Warren say that, but many other Christian people involved in the purpose-driven paradigm are talking about pre-Christians rather than unbelievers or pagans or whatever. Words have been used to just identify those who don't need know Christ, who we need to reach out to. But what, in order to cause people to be willing to put aside the old thinking, enter into the dialectic process where you find your oneness not in absolutes, not based on the scriptures, but based on, hey, we all share that value. We agree on tolerance. We all want to be inclusive. So you come together in a whole new way of thinking that totally rules out the absolutes, not just because they're absolutes, but because you don't think in terms of absolutes. You think in terms of evolutionary thinking that will continually be adapted to the dialectic process, where today you bring in a little bit more information, you have a thesis, and you add an antithesis, a little more information, you synthesize those, but you're ready and willing to bring in more information tomorrow and come up with a new synthesis. Everything, the context, in other words, is changing continually, and you learn to adapt scripture to that changing context, day after day, week after week, year after year. And you don't even know how to think in absolute terms anymore. That's part of the transformation. When you let go of the old and you embrace the new, it feels good. People feel like they've changed. They're excited about their group. They're passionate about their group. And they have totally rejected the old way of thinking.
And, of course, the old way of thinking was everything was absolute. God said, thus saith the Lord.
Right.
And so we do away with the thus saith the Lord, and the group then decides what's right and what's wrong, depending upon the information that's fed into them. Is this what you're saying?
Yes.
But isn't a lot of this, of course, a part of this whole idea of global transformation? You start with each individual church, but then eventually everything begins to change, and then society begins to change. And what's this about communitarianism and the relationship between the church growth movement and this communitarian vision or dream?
Okay, well, Drucker is a communitarian. I mean, he believes in bringing people together in an inclusive society in every local community. This is why he talks about the three sectors: the private or the business sector and government sector and the social sector. And he says that his mission is to provide, quote, packaging, not always to packaging knowledge and experience into tools for the social sector leaders so that they can, again, put his principles to work. It's interesting. I have a paper here called Emerging Partnerships, New Ways in the New World, which details this, and I'm going to put excerpts from that on into the article, into the part two of the purpose-driven spirit-led or purpose-driven article, but it was sponsored by the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. So here we had the Rockefeller Foundation behind it, and it, I mean, as I say, it details this, how this whole system is going to work, and it says the mission of the social sector and its organizations, which would be primarily the church, is to change lives. And it does that. It accomplishes this mission by addressing the needs of the spirit, mind, and body. In other words, find out what the self needs are and then use that to bring people together in your small groups. And, of course, totally employing the dialectic process. It's interesting that another funder for Drucker's Foundation, which is now called, as I said, Leader to Leader, was the Lilly Endowment.
Well, Lilly is certainly no friend of Christianity.
Well, it is, because they funded Drucker, but recently they have given a grant to a Baptist seminary, the Golden Gate Baptist Seminary, which has campuses in the San Francisco area, in Southern California. In fact, they have just formed a partnership with Rick Warren at Saddleback Church, so now we have a partnership between Saddleback and Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary, which is funded by the LA Foundation, or is receiving money from them.
That's Eli Lilly.
Eli Lilly, right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Their next campus will be set up at the Saddleback Church so that they can work with Saddleback to train community leaders who will, again, implement these particular principles. Apparently, Lilly Endowment has become very interested in religious institutions, and they're working more and more with religious institutions, probably because they had the same vision as Drucker, and they want to convert the world, just like Rockefeller, into social, communitarian organizations where the churches, the religious people who are trained as leaders and trained in ministry will help do a lot of the social work that the government can't afford to do anymore. It was interesting, there was a speaker recently at the Golden Gate Seminary. It was during a conference, and he was describing some of what's going on. He said that he warned that churches must embrace transitions, the new transitions, or forfeit the possibility of exercising a transformational ministry within changing cultures. And he talks about, this is a professor in the area of church growth from Fuller came up there and was speaking, and he said, in a shift from a modern era emphasizing rationality and unified progress to a postmodern era characterized by pluralism, ambiguity, and relativism, the church is facing a context in which former concepts of self-identity and purpose are being challenged. And he said, the church itself will need to go through a metamorphosis in order to find its new identity in the dialectic of gospel and culture.
To find a new identity in the dialectic of culture?
In the dialectic of gospel and culture. Okay. So the dialectic here is the two opposites. It's the gospel and culture, and those have to be synthesized. That's what he's saying.
I see. And, of course, people have to understand that this is a Hegelian concept, and Hegel was one of the primary philosophers that Karl Marx used when he came up with his concept of Hegelian dialecticism, materialism,
yeah.
And the dialectic, and of course that was what communism was really all about. So it would appear that they really want to use the church to transform society, but first of all they've got to get the churchgoers to go along with it and to be willing to be manipulated. And most churchgoers have no idea. They think this has to do with Christianity.
Right. And you see, this is where music fits in again. Back to what we started with, Dr. Stan. You have to draw the people together. You have to make them so comfortable that they won't want to leave when they face concepts that create cognitive dissonance in their minds. They're introduced in the church that had been teaching truth. All of a sudden now, they're hearing something that's totally contrary, and they face cognitive dissonance, and they have to rationalize accepting this new teaching from a pastor who offers them so many good things that they really like. And so what the natural process is to somehow justify or rationalize the new information, but in doing so, they begin to compromise the truths that they know, and once you start moving off base, you move a little bit off that the solid rock of Jesus Christ and His Word, and suddenly you don't have anything solid anymore.
And so
you don't have a filter with which to filter what you hear and see. Is this true or isn't it? And so you start going along with it.
And of course, what you do is you use multiple translations. And everyone says a little, or many of them say something entirely different. And then, of course, you say, what's the Word of God? And you don't know what the Word of God is because you got so many translations. And nobody's there to tell you there's no didactic teaching. Would that be a fair statement? No didactic teaching.
Right.
It all has to do with more or less feelings.
Right.
And then what about the repetitious music, the mantra-like music that they have?
Well, I haven't heard it myself, Dr. Stan.
No, we did it in our church, and I'll tell you, you would almost go into a trance with the repetition over and over and over again. That's what the yogas use, and they use, of course, in Near Eastern religions. We're just about out of time, Barrett. Thank you so very much for being with us. And, of course, go to crossroad.to. That's crossroad.to. Get Barrett's material off our website. It's must reading. And of course, if you order anything from us, you'll actually get some of that material we sent out. I think it's vitally important if the church is to survive. We're out of time, Barrett.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.
This is a fascinating four-tape set. Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well tie up cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I want to tell you about some of the items that we have. Have you ever wondered about President Kennedy and his murder? Was this simply a lone gunman, or was this part of a much larger conspiracy? Well, you need to get our four-tape set on the JFK assassination. You'll actually hear an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald there. Or you need to get our JFK assassination update. We'll actually hear the interview with a woman who was there when they were planning the assassination and who was involved, and many of the key people in our government. She will tell you who was at the meeting the night before when they laid out the plan for the murder of President Kennedy. And in fact, she was Lyndon Johnson's mistress. So it's a fascinating four-tape set. That's the JFK update. And then, of course, we have so many other fascinating tape sets. Did you realize, of course, you're being poisoned by your mercury fillings? Did you realize that they've been intentionally poisoning our children by putting a toxic dose of thimerosal into the vaccines? And of course, this is why we went from one child in 10,000 who was autistic to one in 150. And of course, many of the other children are not autistic. They just have behavioral problems. Dr. Mark Geyer says it could be as much as one in five children, one in five children has been damaged by the mercury. You need to get our four-tape set on mercury. You need to get our four-tape set on fluoridation to realize how they're poisoning your children. You need to get our four-tape set on aspartame and NutraSweet. You need to understand you're not going to get this information from Rush Limbaugh or from Bill O'Reilly, but we're talking about aspartame, we're talking about water fluoridation, we're talking about mercury. All of these four tape sets are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. War. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you who listen to us to help us and to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters so that we can continue doing what we do 5 hours a day. Now, our evening program, which is 8 to 10 here on the Pacific Coast, will be on shortwave, starting on Monday, and you can listen in at this same station if you're on shortwave now. 5.745 megahertz. In fact, we do the program now, and then about 3 hours from now, we'll be back on shortwave again. But it'll be much better listening here on the East Coast, and maybe on the West Coast, and maybe even on the East Coast as well. We want you to tell others about our programs and get them listening as well. If you'd like, of course, to get a free copy of one of our newsletters, our December newsletter explains why it was that the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools. Our January newsletter goes into the secret societies that operate here in America and the fact that even currently in the Supreme Court, every justice, Supreme Court justice, who was voting against our Constitution today was nominated or selected by a president who was a Mason, a president who was associated with Masonry, or a president who was associated with an esoteric society that had a similar origin. You need to get my January newsletter. If you'd like a free copy, we'll send it to you. That's the January newsletter. That'll be up on the web at RadioLiberty.com in a couple of days. The December newsletter is already up there. So get our information, get these newsletters, and then copy them and get them out. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to understand the secret societies which exist and continue to exist and operate in America today. And there is a secret that's been passed down through the centuries, and my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, reveals that secret. So it's available for $12.95, or you can get it with a video and an audio tape for $29.95. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness special. We hope that many of you will want to get the new video, Megiddo, the March to Armageddon, going into what's happening geopolitically and, of course, spiritually as we move into World War III and what the future does hold. That's Megiddo, the March to Armageddon. You need to get our material on the church growth movement. It's vitally important that you get it. Diaprax in the church. And it is this consensus process put forward by Rick Warren and Peter Drucker. And it is an effort to transform the church, to transform the world. These people are thinking very big. They have tremendous forces behind them. And if we're not if we are involved in this, why, of course, we are will be eventually be drawn away from traditional Christianity. That's Diaprax in the church, the four-tape set, the church growth movement. And, of course, if you get either one, why, you'll get the material that was put together by Barrett Schoes. We want you to read it. We want you to challenge it. We want you to read the book, find out who's published the Purpose-Driven Life. And, of course, it was Zondervan, Rupert Murdoch's organization. And then begin questioning what you're being told and have the courage to stand for what's right, rather than simply knuckling under because you're afraid you'll be demonized and attacked and thrown out of your church. Which you will be, of course, if you stand up. But when enough people understand what's happening and they leave the church, why, that's the only way there's going to be put a stop to this foolishness. And then, of course, we want you to get my video, the Iraq, the Untold Story. You get the video, you can get the syllabus with all the documentation in it to understand why we're sending our boys halfway around the world to die in Iraq. And believe me, before long, we'll have the draft. It'll be your children, your sons, and your daughters to go overseas to fight in senseless wars. So please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders, our ministers. But please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.